Welcome to Money Tips by Charles Kelly, author of Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness. Charles spent over 25 years in financial services, working for banks, insurance companies, and as a qualified independent financial advisor running his practice, before setting up his speaking, consultancy, and property business. Money Tips will help you save, make, and accumulate more money, whether you are a business owner, entrepreneur, employee, or still searching for your vocation.
The Renters Reform Bill could fail, according to the National Landlords Association. What they've said is time is ticking for this bill. And, you know, we're coming to almost the end of the year when we come to a summer recess. And then we're possibly looking at an election in October, November. So it looks like it might not go through. Now, before you sort of open the champagne, what the Landlords Association are saying is that could be worse for the bill because Labour could amend it and make it much tougher for landlords. Now, it's why is it failing? Well, one of the reasons is that they're still arguing about various details in this bill. They're trying to make amendments, and 50 Conservative backbenchers have raised objections to certain parts of the bill. And although this is not public, one of the amendments that they're trying to put through is to keep Section 21, that's the no-fault eviction part of the bill, keep that out of it until such time as the courts are reformed and up to date, which could be years. Okay, so they're trying to remove that part. That's 50 backbenchers who are doing it. So at least some MPs are listening to their constituents and landlords, because this bill is not going to do tenants any favours, in my opinion. Yeah, it could. Yeah, we could toughen up some of the things and make amendments here there, but abolishing Section 21 notices, which gives landlords the ability to ask a tenant to leave without having to put a fault in there, or without having to go and prove things in court, or maybe just at the end of a tenancy when the tenant says, "Oh, I need notice." I don't know why you'd have to give notice to tenants 2 months before they're supposed to leave anyway, because the tenancy's ended, but that's the way it is. But if you take that away, I think a lot of landlords are going to be put off and they'll just sell up and do other things with their money. I mean, frankly, they can, you know, you can invest money, get 5% on your money in a bond or a sort of guarantee type investment, and not have the worry of being a landlord. Now, a lot of landlords were switching out of this into holiday accommodation and serviced accommodation, furnished holiday lets, to probably get around some of these rules and also claim the tax relief against their mortgage, which George Osborne very kindly took away from them a few years back. And what they were saying there is that you're either going to put your properties in a limited company. They were looking for you know, landlords who are corporates. As one minister told me, we don't want the mom and pop landlords. We want the corporates. Yes, the corporates. Never mind about our constituencies. Never mind about our voters. Never mind about the 2 million landlords who've only got one or two properties. They wanted the corporates. And that's effectively what they've done. And now the corporates are wading in. You've got Lloyds Bank. Over in America, the same thing's happening with companies like Goldman Sachs wading into the property rental sector. I'm not particularly worried about them because they will mess it up anyway. You know, they haven't got the touch and the feel of a good landlord and how to manage a property and how to make money from it. They'll have so many costs that I can see it ending in disaster for a lot of them personally. So getting back to this bill then, what the Landlords Association are saying is that if this bill fails and it misses, because we've got an Easter recess coming up, just checking this 14th of April, then the May bank holiday and then the Whitsun recess. I mean, how many holidays do these MPs have? I mean, they have the whole summer off. They only reopen Parliament, I think it's November. I don't know how these people really work, or if they do work. MP salaries have just gone up to $91,000 a year, by the way, and that doesn't include their allowances and employing their, you know, another $30,000 to employ their wife as a secretary from home and all this sort of thing and all the other perks they get. Anyway, I won't rant on about MPs, but the NRLA are saying that if this fails, it could be worse under Labour, and I think that's a worry for me. Is what are Labour going to do? as they seem odds on to win their next election unless they completely shoot themselves in the foot. And, you know, another woe for the Tories is that the Reform Party are getting a bit stronger. Lee Anderson's defected from the Tories over to the Reform Party. And he's a sort of a red wall type of MP that won the election under Boris Johnson. Those red wall seats that were formerly Labour are expected to go back to Labour, but Reform are trying to muscle in there and get those some of those votes. So the Reform Party could be a threat for Conservatives. Not that they're going to win 300 seats, but they could cause the Conservatives to lose seats under the first past the post system, and then when they've lost the seats, they will go to Labour and just increase Labour's majority in the end. I saw this happening years ago when the Gang of Four defected from the Labour Party. They called them the Gang of Four. Owen was one of them, Lord Owen, and Shirley, what's her name? Not Shirley Temple, but Shirley Williams. And they left Labour and formed the Social Democrat Party, which in that the following election took votes away from Labour and allowed the Conservatives to come in stronger and win those seats. And under the first past the post system, it's the most votes in that constituency that wins the seat. Then the MPs elected for that seat, and then whichever party has the most seats takes the power, takes the government seats. Okay, now this, by the way, the SDP eventually merged into the Liberals and it became the Liberal Democrat Party. So Conservatives have got another problem there. And this is not a political podcast, by the way, but we know that you've got a lot of Labour MPs who are certainly anti-private landlord. But I think the answer to all these problems is to build more council houses. And when I was a councillor, I was urging the council to build more council houses, but they wouldn't. Why not? They said, well, if they build more houses, then they might buy them under the right to buy later on in 5 years' time. I said, well, so what? At least they're in a house. They're not having to move way out of the area to afford a house and move further north, etc. But they wouldn't do it. They just wouldn't do it. They could have done it. They had the money. They could have borrowed money from the government at very low interest rates in those days. They wouldn't. They didn't want to know. So that's unfortunate. By the way, if you are worried about Section 24 and this latest blow to landlords, because under the holiday let scheme, the current Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, has just abolished those rules under the holiday let scheme, which allowed landlords to, even if properties were in their own name, to claim tax relief against their mortgage. It didn't involve Section 21s and all that sort of thing. So now he said he's abolished that regime. I don't quite know what that means, but you need to look into this, because that was one way that a landlord with properties in their own name could avoid the Section 21, which basically abolished claiming tax relief as a business expense against your rental income. And it mainly affects landlords who are currently paying higher rates of income tax, either through their property portfolio or through their jobs. But if you need advice on that, I'll put a link up there, because I can give you a free, or what I'm offering is a free consultation with a tax expert on property to maybe guide you through what you can do to get out of that problem where the property is in your own name. You are effectively paying more tax. And in some cases, a lot of landlords are saying now that the rental income doesn't even cover the mortgage. They're having to subsidise the mortgage and eventually sell up. Now, I get a lot of comments when I mention this, and a lot of people are good, screw the landlords, and good on you. Why are you crying over landlords and that sort of thing? But look, if you're a tenant, screwing landlords is not going to do you any favours, because landlords will just sell up and there'll be less properties around. We're already seeing this. We're already seeing less landlords coming into the market, less smaller landlords coming into the market. And we're already seeing a shortage of rental properties. Rents are going up through the roof. Property prices are not exactly shooting up, but rents are, because there's a shortage. It's obvious. It was going to happen. We knew this. And I just don't understand the logic of George Osborne and the Conservative government on taking away landlords' benefits. And they took away things like wear and tear allowance and other things that have just made landlords' lives more difficult, more red tape, more legislation. I just don't get it. Because it was previously a Conservative government many years ago that brought in the rules that allowed buy-to-lets to happen, and it's been a great success. But now they've sort of gone into reverse gear, and hopefully, and hoping that the corporates were going to come into the market. Yeah, they've come into the market, but I don't think they're going to solve all the problems. So that's my rant there on the situation with this renters reform bill. Could it be stopped? We don't know. And if it is stopped, will Labour come in with something much worse? Okay, so if you need advice on tax, I'll put a link up somewhere here. Just email, and I'll put you directly in touch with the property specialist accountant. Okay, thanks a lot for listening, and bye for now. But one other thing, sorry. I just want to say that I now have a supporters club on something called Money Tips 365, where on Spotify you can get more exclusive content. And I'm trying to put out a daily podcast on this, and you'll get lots of other free content there, and additional bonuses. I'll give you access to a free one-day workshop that I ran on Zoom. It's called the Smart Money Workshop, which goes through lots of different ways of investing, saving money, managing your money. And I'll give you copies of my two books, Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness and Borrow and Grow Rich. Okay, thanks a lot, and bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Money Tips. For more tips and information, visit moneytipsdaily.com. The information given in this podcast is for your entertainment and should not be construed as financial advice. As always, take independent financial advice before making any investment decisions.